Life Audio.
Coming up on Encouragement for You, family authority Dr. Greg Smalley talks about true love, and counselor and author Dr. Gary Oliver discusses the friendships of men.
Welcome to the Encouragement for You podcast, brought to you by Encouragement Communications in association with the Salem Web Network and is part of the Life Audio Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com. In just a moment, your host, Don Hawkins, will introduce today's episode. First, a word from our sponsors.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Dr. Greg Smalley is the Vice President of Families for Focus on the Family, and he joins host Don Hawkins to talk about true love.
Help us get our arms around the biblical concept of what love is.
Well, you know, when I think about love, you know, I go right to 1 John 4, and where it talks about that God is love, that God represents love, God is love. And I think about what God has done for us, that he made a way for us to come back into a relationship with Him by sending His Son. Mm. And so, I mean, everything that God represents, I mean, that is love to me, at least when I think about it.
Yeah. There's some words I think about. You know, there are a number of words used in the New Testament era for love. There was phileo, which was, I love you because you're related to me or because we're kin and blood is thicker than water or that type thing. There was eros-type love or erotic love, and certainly there's a place for erotic love in a marriage between a husband and a wife. And there was a storge kind of love that a mother had for children, and we're certainly all familiar with that, and we'll celebrate that come Mother's Day. But as I think about that agape concept of love, Greg, that we're familiar with, three words come to mind. One is unconditional, one is sacrificial, and the other is active. God so loved the world that He gave. That was an action. And love is not just an emotion, it's action. And it's sacrificial. God gave His Son, the dearest thing, to Him, and it's unconditional. Whoever believes in Him, a person that trusts Him, will not perish but have everlasting life. And really, that love is encapsulated in the gospel, the good news, the great story that Jesus came and died for you and for me and for all of us. And Greg, talk a little bit about the action, the doing aspect of love, the fact that it's not just an emotion, if you will.
Yeah, you know, when I think about the action, the doing part of love, I think about my daughter Taylor, and when she was, you know, very young, she had to have been about 4 years old. She had this really strange thing. She kept asking me to play like I was a little dog, and did this over and over and over again. I mean, I literally started thinking there's something wrong, you know, this canine fixation, and she always wanted me to play like I was a little dog. And then I went to pick her up from her little daycare deal, and as I sort of walked into the room, she didn't see me, and I didn't realize it, but this lady who kind of ran this deal had a dog, a little puppy. And I watched this puppy play with Taylor, and they rolled around on the ground, and the thing's licking her, and just total undivided attention on my daughter. Wasn't thinking about the neighbor's cat or the next meal. It was all about my daughter. And it struck me as I watched this little dog play with my daughter. I mean, I realized why she wanted me to play like I was a dog, because she wanted more than anything my undivided attention.
Yeah. In other words, give of yourself, give your attention, give your focus to that person. Let them know you value them. There's a statement, Greg, in Ephesians chapter 5, the words that we husbands are given in terms of loving our wives. And there are two words there, to nourish and to cherish.
Yeah.
You remember the old song by the Association, cherish is a word we use to define all the feelings that we have down here inside. Well, the reality is cherish is not all about feelings down inside. That concept of cherish has to do with value.
Yep.
We pay attention to what we value. And if we value our husbands, our wives, our children, our parents, girlfriend, boyfriend, whoever that person happens to be, good friends, valuing those people involves listening to them. It involves reaching out to them. It involves forgiving them at times, does it not?
Oh, gosh. You know, just a willingness to forgive someone, even if they haven't asked it. Certainly, most of us don't deserve it when we've made a mistake. But just a willingness to forgive, you're right, does really, it is about value. I mean, I will forgive someone because I value them.
Yeah.
But when we're hurt and we're frustrated and our hearts shut down, usually we stop seeing that value, which is what I love about what you're saying. You know, cherish is the attitude.
Yeah.
Cherish is the belief that I am married to the most valuable person on earth, you know, or my kids. I live with the most valuable. You know, my dad used to do that to me. I'm sure he's told you stories about
this. Oh, he has. He has, yes.
Oh, it drove me nuts. I'd bring my friends in. You know, I was like in junior high school, whatever, you know, embarrassed in life anyway.
You say, Dad, please don't say those things.
Oh, we'd walk in and he'd drop to the ground.
Yeah.
And go, oh, my goodness, I'm in the presence of the most valuable, you know, 13, 14-year-old in the world. And my friends would look at me like, oh, dude, is that your father? I'd be like, no, I think it's like the pool guy or, you know.
Yeah, but looking back on it, wasn't it great how he affirmed you?
It was. And I remember that. As embarrassed as I was, I wouldn't change that for anything.
Wow.
And I remember that. And he, you know, of course, he's made his whole ministry off of that, really, that word honor alone. But, but you know, he did a great job of doing that, and that is what we can do.
Let's go to the phones. We have a caller listening on the line from Dallas, Texas.
Yes, I was just saying that the sweetest Valentine that I ever got was from my grandson. He had been, he was a Christian, but he'd been out in the world for a while, and I'd prayed for him diligently, and he came back to the Lord right before Valentine's Day, and he appeared at my door with a rose and a card, and he said, the Lord Jesus Christ is my Valentine, but I can't give him a card or a flower. So I'm going to give it to you, Grandma.
Well, see, Grandma, you were Jesus to him, and you drew him back to Jesus and helped to bridge that gap in his relationship with Jesus. I think, Greg, that he really honored her, to go back to that word that your dad has used so much, that idea of honor. That's a real way to honor somebody, isn't it?
Well, you know, just to put love into action, I mean, he could have just called her and thanked her, but to take the time to buy the card, to write in it, to bring the rose, to express that, to share the meaning behind why he was doing that, that he couldn't give that to the Lord, but that's really what she was representing. I mean, I love it. And it sounds like that was an amazing gift.
Couldn't have a better one.
I certainly will never There'll never be one to compare it.
Yeah, so we're so thankful. I want to pray for you and for him and his family, if we could.
Okay, that'll be great.
Lord, thank you for this dear caller from Dallas who loves you and who loves Jesus, loves her grandson, and who reached out to him, and as a result, he reached out to her. What a special Valentine, Lord. And I pray that this might even serve as a model for some others who are listening, might be trying to think, what's the best way that I can express my love for the Lord and my love for this person who's influenced me toward Christ? And so I thank you, Lord, that we've been able to hear this great story. And I pray your special blessing on this dear lady and on her grandson and his wife and their children. Father, just encourage them and minister to them in a special way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Great to hear from you. God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. What else, Greg, can you do to really let that special someone know that you love them?
Yeah, you know, write out romantic love notes, you know, grab some old photo albums of your life together and just run through those. You know, turn off the TV and play some games and a board game together.
We'll be back with more after a brief word from our sponsors. And don't forget to listen for Dawn's live weekend talk show, Encouragement Live, heard Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central Time on American Family Radio and other radio stations around the country, as well as on the worshipchannel.org.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
The book of Proverbs is filled with verses about the benefits of authentic friendship. For example, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. In our next segment, host Dawn Hawkins and Dr. Gary Oliver explore the friendships of men.
Let's get into this area of friends, and if we're going to talk about the friendships of men, we probably ought to nail down a definition, because you drew a distinction between friends and acquaintances. My suspicion is a lot of us as men would define friends as anybody who's at least a passing acquaintance.
Yeah, you know, anybody you know that you've met, that you know their first name, you may know a few things about them, and certainly that would be a friend, but I prefer to use the word friendship, not someone that I've met and that I know, but someone that, I mean, especially a good friend, someone who, if there was a crisis, if there was a need, if I was feeling overwhelmed, if my job was threatened, if there was an issue maybe with my wife that I that maybe I didn't want to say the whole thing, but I could call and know that he would be there to pray with me. A friend that I could go to like that. I remember I was in Detroit. I talked to a group of guys who had been in the same group. Don, they had had lunch once a week for, I think, close to 20 years.
Mm, wow.
And one of them one day came in and announced that he was going to get a divorce. And everyone was shocked. All these guys, no one knew that they were having problems. He hadn't asked them to pray for anything. Every week things are great. Hi, how you doing? Let's talk about the Tigers, you know, and how the Lions are doing and stuff. And of course they're losing, but and it's like they knew each other, but they didn't.
Right.
And so for me, that does not qualify really as a good friend. Although they had spent hundreds of hours together, they'd golf together. What's your take on that?
You know, I really agree with your assessment, Gary, and I base it on Proverbs. I've studied, as you have, extensively what does the Bible say on friendships. And Proverbs is loaded, I think, especially Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, like a brother is he born for adversity. As you say, a friend is somebody who has your back when you've lost your job, when your marriage is collapsing, when other people are rejecting you, maybe when you've really blown it. Your friend will tell you the truth. They won't sugarcoat it or varnish the truth. But they will also love you and stick with you and be loyal to you even when you failed. And in Proverbs 18:24 talks about a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And Proverbs 27 is loaded with all kinds of statements about friendship. Iron sharpens iron.
That's
so
right.
A man is sharpened by the counsel of his friend. And there's also a verse in there that talks about setting some boundaries with friends. It talks about the guy who calls his friend early in the morning with a loud voice, and to him it'll be counted a shame. So in other words, there do need to be boundaries with friends. They don't necessarily need to live in your back pocket all the time.
And Don, I want to set a boundary with you, okay?
Sure, Gary.
Don't call me early in the morning.
Okay, I promise not to.
I'm not a morning guy.
Will you also not call me? My uncle, for years, he's with the Lord now, but he had his favorite T-shirt, "I don't do mornings." Well, when you do late night radio, you don't do mornings real well now.
Let me read something to you. I've got a good friend in the Houston area, Ehab Hannah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Ehab has two delightful daughters, but one of her daughters, either his daughter Gigi, Ehab and Sylvie's daughter Gigi, she was age 7 when she wrote this. She's, I think, about 10, 11 now.
Yeah.
Okay, here is a 7-year-old's view of a friend, and I love this. In fact, Carrie, my late wife Carrie, included this in the book that she and Aaron wrote, Grown Up Girlfriends. Okay, here goes.
Yeah.
Friends, be nice and kind. Play with them. Let them win. Give them a nickel. Send them emails. When they are sick, make them a card. Ask them for a play date. Say great things about them. Say it's awesome to be twins. Gigi Hannah, age 7, and she wrote that in 2006.
Oh, that's powerful. And again, those are little things, like, sort of like the book, Everything I Needed to Know in Life I Learned in Kindergarten.
That's right.
But those are so, so basic. Again, we're talking about affirmation. We're talking about being loyal. We're talking about being loving. We're talking about being kind. And, you know, I was sitting here thinking about some of the friends that I've had over the years, and certainly you and Greg and Gary Smalley fit into that category. Frank Minrith and I have been friends and worked together for almost a quarter century now, although both of us are way too young to have done that.
I know, that's hard to believe.
It's a miracle. Lots of others, I couldn't begin to name them, but these are some guys who've been good friends, close friends.
Now, Don, what makes them, you know, thousands and thousands of people. I've seen your conferences. Everybody knows you. You know everybody. What is it about those relationships that has called you to especially note them?
Yeah, and that's a great question. Sometimes you can't really put your finger on it, but the chemistry develops. You just feel an affinity, a kinship. You know, when you and I first met, I really felt, you know, there's something about this guy that we're like-minded. I think David and Jonathan had that kind of experience. Remember when they first met? It said the soul of David was knit with the soul of Jonathan.
And they knew they could trust each other.
Yeah.
They knew that the other person would be there for them.
Yeah.
I think they knew that no matter what mistake they might make, their friend might not agree with them.
Yeah.
But their friend would still be there.
Yeah, and that's what friends do. You know, somebody once said, a good friend is like the Undertaker. They'll be the last one to let you down. And that's a pretty bad joke.
Let's bury that one.
Yeah, but, that was good.
I'm sorry.
The reality is, a friend is somebody who will be loyal to you, but who's also loving and caring enough to confront you when you need to be confronted. And David had another friend named Nathan. And Nathan was a good friend of David's. He came into David's court on a regular basis, but he cared enough about David. When David crossed the line, Nathan was willing to say, "You are the man." He did it in love, but he certainly laid the truth on the line. Gary, I want to ask you, why do you think men have such problems with what we would call an in-depth friendship as opposed to just a casual relationship?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons. One certainly is spiritual or biblical, and I hate to just start with this, but it really is the key problem, and that is sin. Sin divides. Sin divided Adam and Eve. Sin divided Adam and Eve from God. Sin separates. But taking a step beyond that, I think in our culture, you know, men grow up, even when we're little boys, competing.
Yeah.
And with men, there's only one winner, and everybody else are losers. I lived in Denver a number of years, and for 3 years, Denver lost the Super Bowl, and they were known as losers. Now, they were the second-best team in the NFL.
Yeah.
They were second best in all the other teams, but they were known as losers.
For 3 years in a row, they outscored or defeated everybody, had a better record than everybody but one team.
Exactly.
Remarkable success, but...
And also, I think, Don, we don't have models. You know, thinking about my dad, I can't think of one close male friend that my dad had. I can't think of one person that if he was in financial crisis or when my mom got ill, that he could call. He was a friendless American male. And I remember so many men at my church who, when I was a teenager and look up to, they had tons of acquaintances, golf buddies, this and that. But they didn't have, many didn't even have any people who really, really knew them.
Yeah.
And I think that's become kind of a part of the stereotypic Marlboro man, you know, the John Wayne, and which is a stereotype. But it's not totally inaccurate, Don.
Yeah, it's a sad thing to think about, but we do tend to have the, like you say, the John Wayne, the Lone Ranger. I mean, you know, you're not old enough to remember the Lone Ranger, but I do.
No, I'm not, but I've heard you talk about him.
Yes, right, yeah. Yeah, he was somewhere about the Middle Ages.
Yes,
but, you know, we've had that Lone Ranger mindset, the John Wayne mentality. I don't need any friends. Okay, so what are some keys to cultivating good, healthy, effective, close male friendships?
Well, Don, I think the first step is simply to realize that God designed us to be in relationships, and I don't want to go theological on our listeners, but I've got to start there. Mm. Before the foundation of the world, God existed in relationship with Himself as the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and it's God's nature to be in relationship. And since we are image bearers, since God made us in His image, He's designed us to be in relationship with Him and with other people.
Yeah.
And it's built into our DNA, Don. I mean, as you know, we need relationships.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to this episode of Encouragement for You with Don Hawkins, host of Encouragement Live Radio and author of over 25 books, including Never Give Up and Master Discipleship Today. You can find more about Don and his books at encouragementlive.org. Encouragement for You is a production of Encouragement Communications with the Salem Web Network and LifeAudio.com. Editing by Phil Giebers, production by Elizabeth Andrade. If you enjoyed what you heard today, we'd love for you to head over to your favorite podcast app and leave us a review. It really does help people find us.
Let me take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on Encouragement for You. If you go to LifeAudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
Stay encouraged and join us next time for Encouragement for You.
Now in his shows, he would say, "That Pat Boone, he's so religious. I shook hands with that boy the other day, my whole right side sobered up." and I would repeat that in my act, and I said, "You know, it did." And then I'd go ahead and sing my song.
Pat Boone shares some of his incredible life story on The Walk, a podcast for worshipers. Join us weekly to hear conversations and devotionals from the artists of the church. The Walk can be found on lifeaudio.com, worshipleader.com, or your favorite podcast platform.